I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 194 for the weekend starting 13 October 2017.
We'll do 200 this year, I'm sure. Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, SA's first 5G network to go live next month.
Also this week, Telkom's no longer for sale, Bitcoin is on a tear, and Mother Nature goes berserk.
It's Friday the 13th, and that means it's time to talk ghoulish tech. Let's get on.
I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th. Let's do it. Welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
So, lots of stuff to talk about this week. It's been quite busy, actually. We're heading into the back end of the year now. Mm. 6 weeks to Christmas, if you can believe it.
The festivities are already in the air. Now it's a fantastic time of year. Summer is a bit of rain, a bit of warm.
A bit of rain.
Summer, bit of rain, bit of storms. It was a bit of a fluke.
Tornado or two.
We'll talk about that in the show.
Before we jump into the news, though, let's do our quiz. Do you want to do the first question?
Certainly. The first question in this week's quiz. Which operator plans to launch a 5G network in South Africa next month on a trial basis?
Which company in which Michael Jordan has an investment has launched a machine learning-based unit trust?
Third question. Craig Venter launched an online sports betting service with which mobile operator this week?
Who has broadband operator Rain hired as the new CEO of its mobile business?
And the last question. Bitcoin hit a new all-time high this week. What level did it reach? And we will accept answers within $100.
There we go. We'll get to the answers to the quiz at the end of the show, as always. Let's get stuck into it. So I've done a couple of interesting podcasts this week, Richard. I interviewed Craig Venter, who is the former CEO of Altec and Eltron TMT. Mm. He left that group, still a big shareholder there, but he left that group about two and a half years ago. I went out to his rather impressive house out in the countryside yesterday and sat down with him to talk about his new venture, Clickabet, which is a online sports betting website. They've just done a big deal with Cell C, allowing you to use Cell C's USSD menus to place bets on sports events.
Nice, like gambling from your phone. I like it.
I'm going to give it a bash this weekend and bet on a game. I'm not sure what game yet, but I'll probably lose money because what I know about sports is quite dangerous. But it was an interesting chat with Craig. He talked about Ultron, and he was quite open and direct with me about what he feels was done right and what was done wrong at the company. He said that it was a mistake to buy out the minorities in Altec and delist the company from the JSE. He said he fought that tooth and nail. And it was quite forthright in the discussion, which I thought was quite refreshing. Worth going to have a listen to that.
Definitely.
And of course, if you haven't heard Richard's new podcast yet, The Best in Tech, go and have a listen to that. The interview he did with Logitech.
Yetin from Logitech.
Logitech. And you've got some more coming up.
We're busy planning a whole number of these things. Making them really interesting talks about tech. I'm looking forward to it. We've got some nice people on the roster and the agenda. And yeah, the plan is definitely to have them weekly. So, trying to get some fresh stuff into your eardrums on a weekly basis.
So the next one's going to land sometime next week?
Yeah,
okay,
next week.
So look out for that. And the other thing I wanted to mention before we dive into the news is that if you have a Samsung Galaxy S8, and you use podcasts to download, podcasting app to download, you may have run into some difficulties. I was experiencing this on my S8, and I've subsequently had some listeners mail me to say that they're running into similar problems, not just with the Pocket Cast app that I use, but with all podcasting apps on the S8. They don't download, and in some apps it gives the error handshake failed. Certainly does that in Pocket Casts. I did some research on this, and it's a bug in the latest version of Android that runs on the S8 here in South Africa. It's a known security problem. It's not a security problem. It's a known bug on this particular version of S8 that's available on this phone. And It's unfortunately Samsung is very slow at releasing Android updates. They're in fact terribly slow compared to some of the other Android phone manufacturers. So I don't know when the problem is going to be resolved, but there is a workaround which I've spoken to Iono.fm about, and they're obviously the distributors of our content. And they apparently can make a change on their server, something to do with removing a particular cipher from their server, which apparently doesn't affect security. So they've been alerted to it, so hopefully the problem is going to be resolved quite soon. There is a problem with that. So it's not just our podcast, it's any podcast that's distributed through iono.fm, so it affects all the Clip Central podcasts, all the radio stations that distribute content through that platform. Now, as far as I know, it's limited to the Galaxy S8, but there may be other handsets that are affected by this. It's a particular version of Android 7.0.
I'm sure there would be.
Yeah, Google's issued a fix ages ago. It just hasn't been implemented by Samsung.
Come on, Samsung, we need you to step up your game a bit, I think.
So, unfortunately, if you're encountering that problem, hopefully, I'm really hoping it's going to be resolved in the next few days on Iono's side. But if you are encountering that problem, I'm afraid you probably have to listen to our podcast via the web for the moment.
Quick solution, just load up the page, press that button, just zoom in, do a pinch zoom on the page, and happy listening.
So let's dive into the news, and I had a fascinating conversation this week with Ian Stevenson. He's the CEO of a company called Comsol. Have you heard of them, Richard?
I have. They're not the guys that make glass, are they?
No, that's Comsol.
Comsol. No, Comsol, yes.
They've you probably see them if you drive to Pretoria. They're on the side of the highway in Midrand, just past the Olifantsfontein off ramp on the right hand side as you're heading north.
Yes.
And they were an interesting company. They raised a ton of investment, hundreds of millions of rands last year, or was it about 18 months ago maybe, from the IDC, from Nedbank, and from Convergence Partners, which is the investment vehicle of Andile Abbas. And they've used that money to roll out a national high frequency broadband network for businesses. And they've pretty much completed that project now, and they've come in under budget. And so what they've done, they got board permission to use that extra budget that they had left over to build a national Internet of Things network using LoRa technology. So yet another IoT player in the space. They've built the network, and they're building the IoT network as well, which they now plan to spin off into a separate business in which Comsol will have a shareholding, but they're going to bring other shareholders in as well. So it's going to be a separate business with its own name, which they'll be announcing early in the new year. But the really exciting news I thought that came out of my interview with Comsol was that they will be launching next month South Africa's very first 5G network.
Oh, wow.
Now, before ordinary consumers get very excited about this is not going to be for your cell phone. Not yet, anyway. Nowhere in the world is 5G available for end-user consumer handsets. Now, this is a business-to-business telecommunications operator. They provide wholesale network services through ISPs who then on-sell connectivity to businesses. Companies like Pick and Pay that might have lots of remote sites and that sort of thing. So they're bringing in equipment. It's pre-release hardware, but they're going to run a pilot with live customers in the 28 gigahertz band, around the 28 gigahertz band, where they have 280 megahertz of spectrum, licensed spectrum available to them.
Delicious.
It's the same spectrum they've been using to roll out this wireless network countrywide. Yeah. And they've still got a ton of spectrum left there that they can use. So there's no question that spectrum, being contended. They could run both these networks in parallel if they chose to. Mm. So they're bringing in this equipment. They're not saying yet who the partner is, because I don't think they've quite dotted the I's and crossed the T's yet.
Yeah.
But they're expecting the equipment in the country soon, and they're going to deploy the network immediately once it's here. It'll involve just a few base stations here in Gauteng. But they're going to have live customers on the network. They're going to work through some of their partners, which include companies like Internet Solutions and Vox. Mm. And they will be offering 5G services for the first time in South Africa. They say that over this wireless solution, they expect they'll be able to offer a gigabit per second access wirelessly to all of the customers participating in the trial. So each customer on the tower will get a gigabit.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. No strings attached.
Yeah, and we're talking very low latency speeds. I mean, that's one of the big advantages of 5G is the low latency involved. So, yeah, they get to claim that they're the first 5G operator in the country. I suppose I suppose that bugs the hell out of people like Vodacom because they love to, you know, say, claim yay, we're first, And they're always in a race with MTN to say we're first.
It's just a line item they won't be able to add to the next presentation.
Yes.
We can live with it. But it's exciting to see.
5G coming.
Exactly. And just even if its prototypes are not accessible to general public.
I mean, yeah.
You know, again, leapfrogging technologies just to get to get the bandwidth we need into the places we can't get it.
Yeah. Now, of course, this is 28 gigahertz, so this is very high frequency spectrum. And I'm not an engineer, but I do know that the higher the frequency, the shorter the distance you can carry it.
Yeah.
So that's why, for example, the digital dividend bands where the TV operators are sitting in UHF is so important, because that's a low frequency band, even though it's called ultra high frequency, because the lower the frequency, the further you can propagate the signal. Mm. So that's why the digital dividend band is so important for rural coverage, and why it's a big problem that the broadcasters are still sitting on that spectrum. So 28 gigahertz, I mean, And sorry if listeners to the show really know this stuff, but you know, most of the cell phone signals in this country are deployed around a gigahertz, 900 megahertz, 1800 megahertz, and 2.1 gigahertz. That's pretty much all the spectrum that's used for mobile operators. So the highest is around 2.1. These guys are doing 28 gigahertz, so it's a very high frequency, and it doesn't carry very far and doesn't go into buildings very easily. But for the purposes they're looking at, which is providing a point-to-multipoint wireless broadband, fixed wireless connection, where you'll have a receiver on the side of a building pointed directly at the tower, which must be at this frequency less than 2 kilometers away.
That's still a distance, though. That's still a
2 kilometers, yeah.
Impressive distance to get a gigahertz.
Yeah. Speed. I mean, at that speed, you couldn't deliver a signal. At that frequency, you couldn't deliver a signal over 2 kilometers to a cell phone. Mm. But when you've got a piece of equipment on the side of the building pointed at the tower, you can do it. So they're running this as a trial, and they just want to test it. And if it works, they're going to roll it out. They have to get approvals from ICASA to launch a commercial network in terms of the hardware that they want to deploy. Mm. The challenge there is that this technology is so very new that apparently what ICASA normally does is it just looks at the approvals in another region and just copies those. Or borrows those, but there aren't many regulatory approvals in the 5G space, if any, at the moment. So ICASA can't really. So they have to, if they're wanted to approve this immediately, ICASA would have to get a team of engineers to look at it and ascertain, frequency interference issues, power.
Doesn't ICASA have those guys already? Isn't that what they're supposed to do?
they have some, but they are under resourced regulators, so they
might. Fair enough.
And so it may take some time to get those approvals, but certainly these guys can claim to be the first 5G network in the country servicing end user customers when it goes live in the next month or so. Although I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if certain of our friends at the mobile operators are rushing now to get some equipment.
Yeah, just get it pilot out, guys. We can do it.
So that they can get something up first.
Nothing like a little bit of healthy competition.
Indeed.
Benefit the customers.
But quite exciting that people in South Africa are talking 5G already. Mm. It's still going to be a year or maybe longer probably 2 years before the actual global standards are really bedded down. So these guys are probably a bit early to market here, but quite exciting that someone's actually doing it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that it's a small player, not one of the big guys. The reason they can do this is they've got so much spectrum in the 28 gigahertz band. Now, apparently, according to Ian Stevenson, 5G in this region looks likely to be at 26 gigahertz as the sort of standard for this area, for the region we're in. But the US is apparently going to deploy 5G at one of the frequencies it's going to use is 28 gigahertz. So, therefore, there will be a lot of equipment manufactured for the US market, which they can simply import and use here. And that's why the manufacturers are really starting to work on this pre-release hardware and why it's available.
Yeah, and I'm sure they give valuable feedback to the manufacturers as well as early testers and early adopters.
Yeah.
Would love to be part of that. That is just a geek fest of notes.
Yes. Yeah. And I doubt there's going to be a 5G tower near my house. Yes, I'd love to participate.
You know, somebody might be listening, looking for spots to put down at Golden Harvest Park. Yeah,
there's a giant tower across the road if they want to use that.
Yeah.
To speak to MTN, they own it.
And Duncan will gladly test it.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, I already have a huge ball on my roof pointed at that tower. So.
Oh, maybe as well just repurpose.
I'd love to be one of the first consumers in South Africa to try 5G. But as I say, it's the technology in terms of mainstream adoption, mainstream use in mobile certainly is a long way away still.
But it'll give us the opportunity to start dreaming about what we can do with it.
Yeah.
And that's where ideas, ideas turn into businesses. And
But I think this fixed wireless is what we're going to see it used for first. I think the mobile side of it can probably come much later because you need a very dense network for 5G. We don't know what the final spectrum frequencies are going to be, but a lot of the spectrum that people are talking about reserving for 5G is very high frequency. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need very dense infrastructure. I think I might have mentioned in the last podcast.
You did, we did speak about this.
Yeah, chatting to Andile Ngaba about this, and he said that every street pole is basically going to have a base station in the future. And everything will be fibered up. Yeah, we did speak about that quite a lot in the last episode. So if you're interested in that, go back and listen to it if you missed it. But yeah, 5G is coming.
Yeah.
5G is coming.
I'm slapped with my fiber for the record. I think it's still the best
fiber is great. Yeah,
fiber appreciation.
I still think fiber is better than wireless. I think it always will be. I think it always will be.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you can. There's no spectrum limitation.
Yeah, there's no limitation.
And of course, dense wave division multiplexing is just getting better and better and better. You can pump more and more and more over a single strand of fiber. I mean, these lines into our homes from Vumatel could probably easily be pushed up to 10 gigabits a second.
Easy. Yeah, but then which servers are you going to get? yes. A service that I would like to see is let's connect our houses and play some LAN games. Everybody on fiber, that's just... hook up a direct network ports between the houses. That could be fun. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Although you don't really need to do that.
I guess you don't just do a Xbox Live or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
The good old days of dialing into a PC. Yeah.
So, Telkom is no longer for sale. And the share price picked up a little bit on that. You'll remember, Rechot, government was talking about selling its almost 40% stake in Telkom to fund the black hole at SAA. And there was a lot of politics behind it. According to reports, Melusi Gigaba wanted the PIC, the CEO there is Daniel Majila, to buy the entire 40%. PIC's investment rules prohibit them from buying more than 15% of the company because of the risk involved in too large an exposure. So they apparently said no. So there was some political falling out between the two parties. Now, Treasury has said that they're not going to sell the stake in Telkom. I think they should sell the stake in Telkom, but probably not under these circumstances where they it's a fire sale. But Telkom share price did pick up a bit, fell back a bit later. We're not far, I think less than 2 weeks now from Melusi Gigaba's midterm budget speech, where he is going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat, or he's going to have to announce that we are going to become more indebted as a nation. And that's obviously very bad news for the Rand and for we'll almost certainly be downgraded by the ratings agencies. And it does look like that's the direction we're going at the moment, because I don't know where he's going to get the money from at this late stage anyway. It was a great report in Business Day saying that I think it was quoting, I forget who it was quoting, could have been Solidarity or Outer, one of those, saying that with all the government bailouts that the government has given to SAA over the years, that money, cumulative amount of that money, could have been used to purchase the whole of Emirates Airlines.
Wow. Yeah, that just shows you what bad management can do and what a backhaul it can be if it's just not managed properly.
Yeah. Of course, SAA shouldn't be a... I mean, in the old days, maybe it made some sense to have a national airline owned by the government, but it really doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't make sense, no.
I mean, Britain does. British Airways is not owned by the British government. Mm. Mm. The Americans don't own an airline. Air France, I think, was privatized. I could be mistaken there. Emirates, I'm not sure who owns Emirates. I think the government probably has a stake in it, but I'm sure it's not fully owned.
It needs to be run as the best version of an airline it can be. You know, be again. You know, what's its purpose? Carry people to places. Mm.
And it's become such a competitive market. Maybe in the old days it made some sense because there were so few airlines that's willing to fly here.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, then maybe it made sense to guarantee these routes because it brought tourists here and all that sort of thing. But there's so many airlines flying into South Africa now from all over the world that. You know, if SAA were to disappear tomorrow, I don't think anyone would really notice.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And somebody will fill that gap very quickly.
Very quickly. I mean, certainly in South African travel, you know, someone would fill that gap instantly, whether it be FlySafair or Galula or BA or one of them. Yeah. I mean, it's a very hyper-competitive market.
I mean, we last year actually looked for tickets on SAA. I mean, their
website
is expensive.
I think website's atrocious.
Oh, that too. But, I mean, I guess apart from some international flights, where I have seen them to be cheaper at times.
Yeah.
For local domestic flights, I can't remember the last time. The only time I flew SAA was when I was bumped off. One flight was cancelled and they filled up SAA flight.
They are expensive. And I prefer not to fly them just because they've... You know who they are. I'd rather actually give my hard-earned money to someone like Kalula or FlySafair or one of those guys, because I know that they're in a real fight, unfair fight with this behemoth that's subsidised by taxpayers.
So these guys are really innovating the market space. I mean, Kalula, for example, they've got some really nice services. You know, doing the car hire after. I mean, a lot of guys have followed this trend, and I guess it's not as unique anymore. But the experience of booking a ticket through them, for example, is a pleasant one. You know, and I like the look and feel, and they've got a quirky brand. The kind of thing you want to support for sure.
Yeah,
just want to fly to some of the smaller airports where
this is Kalula.
Yeah, Kalula.
Yeah, I just wish they'd get their airlines to fly.
Oh, yes, the old flying on time.
I don't think I've ever caught a Kalula flight that's been on time. most recent example was just last week coming back from Cape Town. Anyway, this episode of Airline Central is brought to you by
Airline Central by the brand new flight simulator.
Right, back to the show notes. Oh, we're talking about Telkom. The state will continue to own a 39.3% stake in Telkom. That's another stake that makes no sense to me. Mm. Sell it, but sell it sensibly. Don't put it up, the whole thing up for sale and crash the share price. There are ways of diluting your stake over time, or you find a strategic equity partner, some big player that's willing to come in at a certain price and buy it out, your stake out entirely. But like in airlines, the state doesn't need to be in telecommunications anymore. Back in the old days when it was the postal, it was a PSD, what did they call it? It was the post office, basically, provided you with a telephone line. It's now a highly competitive market. Mm. Telkom, thankfully, has been much better managed than SAA. Mainly because government stayed out of it.
And that's why I think it's a good idea to hold on for it, but also if that portion of this mismanagement.
It's the right time to sell it when it's doing well, because then you make a good return. Right now, it would actually be the wrong time to sell SAA because it's not worth anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably have to pay someone to take it off your hands. But Telkom is, you know, it's done all right. Mm. It's done in the circumstances, it's done pretty well. And that's probably the right time to offload it. At least start to minimize your stake in there. And, you speak to politicians about Telkom and they say it's a strategic asset. And you ask them, in what way is it strategic? And they can't answer you.
Well, it was strategic many, many moons ago.
Yeah. But
now the landscape has changed. I mean, they've had to become innovative to survive, and that's why we like them now for that.
Mm.
But the landscape has changed, and they're really not. I mean, we can do without them if it really comes down to it.
Yeah.
But there is still a massive opportunity for them to be so successful. But I think this is also what happens when, you know, the government doesn't run the country like a business.
Mm.
too many other agendas, I guess. You know, if it's run like a business,
and the politics gets involved.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's where they've got it right with Telkom, and I don't know. I can only imagine it's happened by fluke. Mm. They've got a strong board chaired by Jabu Mabuza, who's a very strong individual, and a strong CEO in Sipho Maseko, and they've worked very well together, and they've managed that relationship with the government. And it's a major turnaround, because if you look at Telkom just 5 years ago, Nombolelo Pinky Mohodi was the CEO, and she had a fractious relationship with the Minister of Communications then, Dina Pule, to the extent where the minister arrived at an annual general meeting of Telkom shareholders and voted against all the resolutions without the board knowing it was going to happen. That's a disaster. Yeah. That minister's now gone, thankfully. But, you know, it's you know, they're good way. If you're going to hang on to your stake in one of these enterprises, then Telkom is the model of how to do it. Mm-hmm. Do the same thing at SAA. Now, they've got a new CEO at SAA, Vianney Girano, who comes from Vodacom. Very brave man. But the problem there is a dysfunctional board led by a dysfunctional chairwoman in the form of Dudu Mayeni. And she's only there because the president wants her there. So I think Vuyani Jaran is very brave going into that situation, knowing that this chairwoman is there and this board is dysfunctional. It's a different story. You're going to Telkom if you see Sipho Maseko, and you're going to Telkom, you've got a really strong board who will shield you from the excesses and stupidity of the government. And give you the space you need to make the decisions without any political interference. It's amazing that in this country there can be two examples of state-owned enterprises that are so differently managed. One has to ask why.
Why does nobody learn from the one and apply it to the other?
Yeah. I mean, it begs the question, is Telkom, the way Telkom is being governed, is it a fluke?
And also, I guess it happened out of necessity because, you know, for a long time it was the only thing. It was the only way to, I guess, connect people and get phone lines in.
Yeah, I mean, if they hadn't done it, Telkom would have been gone to the... It would have needed a bailout, like SAA.
Yeah.
No. But there's no willingness to fix SAA. Maybe it's because Zuma has no interest in telecoms. I don't know. Whereas he's interested in the airline.
The airline is more prestigious.
Yeah, it's actually bizarre that you've got these two...
Yeah,
completely opposite examples of how to do things, and no, there seems to be no willingness to apply the lessons from Telkom to other state-owned enterprises. Yeah, let's take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox Fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox Fiber. Now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Oh, welcome back to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Bitcoin. You haven't bought any.
Cha-ching. No, I've given up on my Bitcoin dreams.
Probably too late now.
Yeah, exactly. $5,800.
Over $5,800 this morning. I haven't actually checked this afternoon. Let me go in and have a quick squiz here. Bitcoin, US dollar. Currently, it is 3:44 on Friday afternoon. And Bitcoin is trading at $5,615.37.
Still not bad for a few, you know, binary digits floating around a graphics card that you ultimately produce into a cryptocurrency that can be tracked.
Yeah.
Not tracked.
So it's risen by about 17% in the last 2 days. That's a pretty good return. Who knows where it's going? It's who actually knows where this thing is going? You know, I think anyone who says they know where it's going is just thumb sucking.
Yeah. I mean, this could go either way, but yeah. There has been so many people cleverer than us who has said, you know, kind of talked about the future of Bitcoin and the application of it in today's digital age, and you can't deny that the concept is. It's almost something that there is going to be a version of this. You know, we're going to be using digital currency, cryptocurrency, regardless.
Mm.
It might be an iteration of Bitcoin or it might be Bitcoin. But yeah, that's what makes it so exciting.
Yeah.
Truly digital. Truly the stuff of movies.
Yeah. And certainly Bitcoin is taking the lead in the cryptocurrency market. Mm. It's over 50% of the value of all crypto now, which just makes it by far the biggest. And you know, the splits, these forks in Bitcoin that keep happening, don't seem to really affect it very much, its value. I mean, the market seems to just shrug it off.
Exactly.
There's apparently another potential split coming next month, or in November. But the market is showing no signs of being concerned about it.
Hmm.
Bitcoin Cash, that was the last split. That's also doing well. In fact, all the cryptos are up. Ethereum today is up 12.4% in one day. Bitcoin today is up 6% currently, up 6.1% in rand terms, which means the rand is weakening. No, actually, the rand is strengthening. That doesn't make sense.
Should we start looking at rigs? Should we build something to start mining Bitcoin? Is it too late for that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you still
unless can't you go big farm size.
You still can't buy a bloody graphics card in this country. <'Cause> true. On the certain graphics cards that are used for mining, but it's madness. I don't think you can compete anymore. I mean, the Chinese are all over this thing. They're using the free hydroelectricity in China to build massive farms to mine. I think Amazon Web Services is being used quite extensively as well for mining. You can get in still probably, but you're probably not going to make a huge amount of money.
Look, I think the hackers and the crackers, who the guys that hijack browsers to mine Bitcoin, I think that's the way. Get the collective world involved.
Yes.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, a little bit from a lot of people.
Yeah, except these guys are talking about doing it surreptitiously.
Yeah, I know, of course.
This is your BitTorrent downloads, and next thing you know, your computer's turned into a crypto mining rig.
I did come home the other day, my computer by my PC, the notebook there, was running like full, the CPU was running full, and my first thought was...
Crypto.
Was there a browser pop-up ad somewhere that I didn't close that is now doing that on my beautiful fiber connection, sending out 50 meg up? Hey, look, it's possible. I mean, they don't have to take over your computer. It's just a rogue ad or rogue code that injects.
I didn't realize you could just do it through a pop-up ad.
Well, that's what I thought they did. I mean,
that's
what I thought you'd be able to do.
That's frightening.
Or you click on it still. I mean,
That's frightening.
That's still.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Well worth looking into, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not buying Bitcoin. My philosophy is don't invest in something you don't fully understand. And I certainly don't fully understand Bitcoin.
How's the shares going? You understand that?
No, my shares are tanking too. Do not take share advice from me. Just looking here.
Maybe you should buy shares in Bitcoin. Oh, sorry, we tried that.
Yeah, my shares are looking bleak. Anyway, let me close that browser window before I start crying.
Moving on very swiftly.
Let's talk about the weather.
Mm.
Now, this doesn't sound like tech, but I'm sure we can find a tech angle for it. So, massive thunderstorms that came through Joburg, and then the next day, it was earlier this week, I forget the exact days, but went down to Durban, and Durban got it even rougher than we did by the looks of it.
Yeah, massive floods there.
But here where I live in Randburg, the Golden Harvest Park, which is a huge park below the dome for anyone who knows Johannesburg, tornado ripped through there, actually hit a friend's house on the other side of the dome. And then ripped through some cluster complex just up on Drysdale Road near the dome. And apparently, I'm going to go look this weekend, but apparently there was extensive damage across the park from this tornado. And a tornado in Johannesburg is just such a freak thing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see it, but also the scary fact that it could land. I mean, we've seen it land, but we also, I mean, there's a lot of densely populated areas there. Something like that in the wrong spot, yes, could wreak havoc.
Yes.
I mean, we're not used to that kind of natural disasters in this country.
Of course, tornadoes normally occur on over a flat plain, which is why they're so common in the Midwest in the U.S. and why you see them in, even on the East Rand here. Nigel Way, Heidelberg, where you hear a lot about tornadoes there in the Free State, that sort of thing. But not usually in Joburg, because it's quite hilly.
Exactly.
It literally touched down less than a kilometer from my house. I better go check my insurance policies.
Make sure everything is... Yes. Maybe it's also time to put some webcams up everywhere outside to capture these things.
Yeah. It's so rare, though. I mean, you know, you'll put the webcam up.
If you don't record, you'll never get it.
That's true. That's true. And then, of course, Durban got hit by severe flooding from the same system as it was leaving the country to the east coast. But the tech angle is that this had a big impact on telecommunications operators. Yeah. MTN announced that, especially in Durban, here in Joburg, they were hit by outages in 80 towers, I think it was.
Yeah, I couldn't. I thought I was out of data, and it bugged me for a bit because I knew I wasn't, and I kind of fumbled around everything. But yeah, I definitely noticed that. It was for a while, and it was massive.
Yeah, it mainly seemed to affect the East Rand, where there was a massive explosion at some refinery or electric substation or something there. I think it was a substation. And so there was a huge power outage in Jet Park and the areas around the airport, and that obviously affected MTN at sites where they didn't have backup. But Telkom seems to have been even a harder hit, especially down in Durban, where there was extensive flooding. I'm not sure how much rain actually fell in that thunderstorm, but I think it was well in excess of 100 millimeters.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody say 100 and something millimeters, definitely.
In a very short space of time. And I saw the Toyota Prospectin plant was damaged, and Telkom saying that they have outages all over the place because of it, because their underground systems got flooded, their telephone exchanges got flooded. Extensive damage, so they had repair teams and called up technicians and people working overtime, but it was freak weather. I grew up in Durban, and you do get an occasional storm like that, but it's quite rare.
Yeah, exactly. But the storms, and we're talking about global, global warming and these things. And how can you deny it when you see these odd patterns popping up? I mean, we've been seeing it for a while now. Everything's shifted. You know, these rains used to come a few weeks earlier. But now everything is just kind of moving up. You know, our top peak in summer is
hot.
January as well. It's not December like it used to be. Well, that's how I experienced the last few years. You know, it just seems like everything shifted up a bit.
And it's definitely, I mean, there's no doubt that the Earth is warming up. No one can deny that. It's in the numbers. I think where the debate is whether it's caused by man or not.
is debatable.
Yeah. I mean, my view is that, of course, it is. But...
certainly we have a massive impact, but I guess you can also argue that, you know, this planet has been doing these things for a much longer time than what we've been around.
Sure, but we're doing it.
It has to go through phases.
We're doing it in a compressed period of time. I mean, this heating of the planet is happening, you know, in very quick succession. And what the impact is in the longer term, I don't think we really know. We don't really understand. This episode of Weather Central. That is our news for this week. Let's do our winner and loser. Rechot. I think our loser this week, I've picked the SABC because people have stopped paying their TV licenses.
I'm one of them. I keep getting an SMS. But I've sent mails to them to say I'm cancelling. They can come around to check. I don't know.
Did you get rid of the receiver?
Exactly.
Yeah. But 17% decline in revenues from TV licenses in the last year. Now that's occurred in the year that Cloudy Motsoeneng was doing his most damage. So maybe there'll be a tick up again now that he's gone. But certainly, I think a lot of I've spoken to a lot of friends who said, no, I'm not paying this anymore.
I refuse to support corruption on that scale. It's money being wasted, not going to where it should. I mean, the public broadcast could be a fantastic thing, but it's not.
It's not, and it's been run into the ground, and now it's looking for a bailout. Yet another state-owned enterprise looking for a bailout. So that's our loser this week, SABC. People have stopped paying TV licenses. I'm not one of them. But I do resent paying it. And our winner this week is Comsol for being the first company in South Africa to launch. Well, they haven't done it yet, So maybe we might have to revisit this later. But,
but should they do?
You never know. Someone might jump in and say, we're going to do it first. But certainly it looks like they're going to be the first. So our winner this week, Comsol, for bringing the first 5G network to South Africa. What's your pick this week, Richard?
So I am going through a process of doing, I haven't done one in a year or two, but you know your yearly purge where you reinstall software in your machine, you know, just get rid of all the clutter and the gunk files that gets installed over time. So this weekend is my kind of reinstall of my computers. And I was looking for, I mean, I've done the backup, so I've got, you know, all my files backed up on Dropbox, thanks to Fiber and all those things. So, you know, you go through the steps, back up your apps, back up your folders, what are you going to sync back, your mail, all those kind of things. As I was backing up my files, I also wanted to make sure that I don't have duplicates, and then I came across this really cool app called Gemini. Now, it's part of the Set app, app streaming service. We spoke about that. That was my pick quite a while ago, but Set app allows you to pay $10 and you get access to 50 various types of utilities and applications. And Gemini was one of them, and I really, and you can buy it separately as well. It's obviously available on the Mac Store as a separate product. But what's really nice is it compares files and folders and versions, and it also files, so for photographs, for example, it'll find photographs that are clumped together or that should be together. So if you did shots consecutively of a scene, like a bridge or something, you know, it, it'll then find them and tell you, okay, these dudes belong together. But more importantly, it really helps with duplicate files, because I do a lot of backups of backups, and sometimes, you know, you copy folders into something and you kind of forget they're there.
Yeah.
So it's, it was really handy, and I saved a couple of gigs, I think 15 gigabytes of data that was just duplicate stuff, duplicate email, photographs, folders, which was a big thing, because you know, you have a system in place, but they do end up, you know, getting messed up. If you buy it separately, it's a $19 app, $19.99, and it is very, very cool. I like it. It's going to save me a lot of time in backing up, you know, the data that I already have duplicates of. So time-saving, and helps me to clean up my storage space. So that is Gemini 2. We'll have a link in the description, and I highly recommend it.
Great. Is it available for Windows?
No, this is a Mac by a company called MacPaw Inc. I don't think they
kind of limiting themselves with their name, yeah. So, yeah, Gemini. How do you spell Gemini? In the normal way.
Gemini 2. Okay.
Cool. My pick this week. Recha, do you use Facebook Messenger on your phone?
I do, actually, quite a lot.
Okay.
Surprisingly a lot, but yes.
But you have an iPhone, so unfortunately my pick this week won't apply to you. It's for Android.
Who uses Android? Is that a thing?
Facebook Messenger on Android, and I'm sure it's the same on iOS. I haven't used it on iOS. Is a pig. It's a piece of bloatware. It's about 250 megabytes for the download. Well, certainly is on my iPad. I haven't checked the actual size on Android. But it's bundled with all sorts of stuff. You just don't.
All those emoji cons.
That, plus you can do all sorts of things with it, like call an Uber and do all sorts of stuff, which, you know, I don't want in a messaging app.
Never use it, yeah.
So I saw this on The Verge, actually, and I downloaded it. It's Facebook Messenger Lite. It's Messenger meant for emerging markets, like Facebook Lite in the Android store.
Yeah.
It's only available for Android, and it's fantastic. It does the business of being a messaging app, which Facebook Messenger, unfortunately, has mutated into this monster that's got all the stuff in it that you don't want. But like WeChat, I don't use WeChat because it's loaded with garbage.
Yeah.
Facebook Messenger Lite is just a messaging app, and it's light, it's tiny, it's fantastic.
Nice.
And you get all your messages from Facebook without all the clutter.
But you get images and things. You can receive and send, but you don't have all that weird third-party stuff there.
Yeah. It's Messenger without the extraneous gunk. Yeah. So I uninstalled Messenger on my phone, installed Messenger Lite, and I'm very happy. So great tip there. If you're using Android and you don't want this Messenger app on your phone, I mean, and it requires so many permissions as well when you install the full version. The Lite version still requires quite a few, but it's a great app. So dump Messenger, get Messenger Lite if you're on Android. It's
Hashtag dump Facebook Messenger, get Lite.
Yes. So it's a great little app, that. And you can't really not use Facebook Messenger these days, because so many people message you on Facebook. And
such an easy way to communicate. It really works.
Yeah. So I think that's our show, except for our quiz. Let me do the first question. Which operator plans to launch a 5G network in South Africa next month on a trial basis? And that is Comsol, not to be confused with the glass company.
No, not Comsol. Second question. Which company in which Michael Jordan has an investment has launched a machine learning-based unit trust? And the answer there is Numerical, spelled N-M-R-Q-L. Very trendy.
Yes. Craig Venter launched an online sports betting service with which mobile operator this week? And that is Cell C.
The fourth question, who has broadband operator Rain hired as the new CEO of its mobile business? And the answer there is Willem Roos, the CEO of OutSurance.
Interesting hire that. I actually spoke to Michael Jordan, who's the chairman, an investor in Rain, chairman of Rain Mobile. They're going to be launching their mobile services. You know, they've only done fixed wireless so far. They're going to be launching their mobile services in beta form before the end of this year.
Nice.
And our fifth question, Bitcoin has hit a new all-time high this week. What level did it reach? And we said we'd accept answers within $100. And the peak was $5,856.10.
Cha-ching.
That's a few rand.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's our show this week. As always, if you've got any feedback, please do drop us a mail, info@techcentral.co.za. We'd love to get your feedback. We read all your messages. Until next time, from Richard and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.